Please be turning in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. It's good to see you here today. Good to be with you. We've got visitors with us today, and we're thankful for that. We are thankful for another opportunity for us as a family to be together. And that is always a special treat, and especially when we get to be together and join together our voices, our hearts, our everything in pouring out our worship to God and in remembering the great sacrifice that was made to make it all possible. That is always a special occasion. I can see that I was thinking along the same lines as Eli this morning in the thoughts that I had for our message for today. The idea of looking back just a couple of days ago in the holiday that we celebrated. We call it Thanksgiving. And there's a good reason for that, because it is a time of family. It is a time of togetherness. It is a time where we focus our hearts and minds on the blessings of this life. And just as Eli exhorted us this morning, I too want to echo those thoughts and say that that's something that God wants us to be doing all the time. In fact, in every day that we live, in every situation of life, in good times and in bad, that is exactly the response that God wants us to have. In Luke chapter 17, there's a story of 10 men whose lives were changed forever. Well, I probably shouldn't say forever, but their lives were changed. It is a story of 10 men who all had the same harmful skin disease that we refer to as leprosy. It says in Luke chapter 17 and verse 11, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." So Jesus is on his way back to Jerusalem, and he's going that route that really no Jewish people would ever go. To go that route in between Samaria and Galilee, most people would have gone the long way around and crossed over the Jordan River and come down the eastern side and then crossed back over into Jerusalem. Yet here he is on this path, and he comes into a village, and there are 10 leprous men who stand at a distance. Why? Because under the law, they are required to keep their distance. And when it says that they shouted out to Jesus for mercy, you gotta picture that they would have had to have had their outer garment pulled over their upper lip. They would have had to have covered their face, and they would have had to have their hair all messed up, and their clothes would have needed to be an indication of their disease. And so they would have had to have looked like they were sick. And they would have had to have covered their lips so that no transfer could take place, standing at a distance. They can't even go near to him. And Jesus tells them to follow the law. He says, go and show yourselves to the priest. At any point in the life of a leper, if they felt like their leprosy had left them, they would go and present themselves before the priest. The priest would perform a number of tests. They would give them some rituals to perform that would have to do with a cleansing process. And after all those things were done, if it was determined that the leprosy was gone, they would be declared clean and could rejoin their family, rejoin the community. And it says that Jesus just told them to go and show themselves to the priest as if they had already been healed. And as they go, they were cleansed of their leprosy. And yet there was this one man, only one man, a Samaritan man at that, who turned back and gave glory to God, fell on his face before Jesus and gave him thanks. You know, I said at the beginning that Jesus ran into 10 men whose lives were changed forever, and then I had to correct myself because really, only one man's life was changed forever. There were 9 men whose situations were improved, whose lives got better. They drunk in Jesus' goodness. They drunk in His grace. They accepted His precious gift of clean skin. And so 9 men were cleansed that day, but only one man was healed. And I think one of the things that we can take from this story is that a major part of healing faith is the fact that it is one that returns to God with a spirit of thanksgiving. Not just a moment of thanksgiving, not just a day or two of thanksgiving, but it responds to God, it returns to God with a mindset, with an attitude, with a heart of thanksgiving. Only one man did that. Only one man was made well on this day. And his returning to God with thanksgiving was a major part of that. In some of your favorite passages, in some of my favorite passages, one I'm thinking of is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Passages that we memorize all the time, passages that we can call to our minds in times of trouble, passages that we lean on when things get difficult. They all have a component of what we've talked about in this story of the 10 lepers. But a lot of times I think we skip right over this component. But it's a big part of it. It's a big part of what God is trying to get us to see, what He desires from us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I could just give you 2 words and you could probably give me the next couple of verses. I could say, rejoice always. And almost all of us could come back with, pray without ceasing. And we know that verse really well. We know the one that says rejoice always really well. It's obviously something that we think about. It's a passage that means something to us. But do we ever remember what the next verse, what the third verse in that series says? In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What is God's will for us? If you ever see a passage of Scripture that says, this is the will of God, and you don't have that passage highlighted, circled, underlined, stars around it, arrows pointing to it, then we're missing something. If you ever find a passage that says this is what God wants you to do, then we need to know exactly what that passage says, because sometimes for me, it's kind of hard to figure out what God wants me to do. So sometimes I'm just kind of sitting there asking myself, like, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to handle this? How do you want me to respond to this? And in a verse like this, he spells it out and makes it to where every single one of us can understand. This is God's will for you, to rejoice always, to be in constant communication with Him, and to give thanks in everything. James would go on to say that we should rejoice even in our trials. That we should be thankful even when we are passing through the fiery trial of this life. And the only way that somebody could do that, the only way that makes any of that make sense, is when we realize that thanksgiving is not just a one-time thing. That thanksgiving is not just something that happens and then it goes away. That the only way that we could have joy in trials and be thankful when we're going through difficult things is if we have on an attitude, a mindset, a spirit of thanksgiving that never goes away, that is always present within us. As Eli said, not just on holidays, but every single day of our lives. In everything, give thanks. This is what God wants for you to do. Look over in Philippians chapter 3. We looked at this passage not too long ago, and we did the very thing that we always do. Or I should say, I did the very thing that we often do when we come to passages like this, these passages that we lean on, the passages that we turn to, that we could quote and recite. It's actually in Philippians chapter 4, excuse me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's a lot in that particular paragraph of Scripture, a lot of heavy things, a lot of things that are very powerful, things that give us great promise, things that fill us with hope. Ways that we feel the love of God and the peace of God. But in this idea of our rejoicing, in this this concept of not letting anxiety well up in us, and us giving all of that anxiety to God so that His peace can come in and rule and guard our minds, there's a specific way that Paul tells us to make those requests. Let your requests and supplications and prayers be made known to God with thanksgiving. It's a big part of who God wants us to be. Colossians chapter 3 is the passage that our brother read for us just a few moments ago. Colossians chapter 3, another well-known passage, one that many of us probably learned as small children. I'm going to start in verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And don't miss this last part of the verse. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, a lot of times this is a verse where we go to talk about singing and what should be included, what should not be included. And maybe sometimes it's so important to us to show what should not be included that we miss what should be included. This idea of wisdom in our singing, teaching in our singing, admonishing in our singing, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And finally, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Do you think it's important to God that we return to Him and give thanks? Do you think it's important to Him that we, once we accept His gracious gift, His amazing offer of eternal life, forgiveness of sins, the Spirit of God dwelling in us, freedom, liberty, a home in heaven? Do you think that it's important to God that when we receive those things, that we then change our minds, that our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, that they become different? And we put on a spirit of thanksgiving. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, you may be familiar with this passage where Peter is talking about the things that we need to add to our lives, to add to our faith. He says in verse 5, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control." How'd we do with that this week? Self-control, good thing. Everybody looks like the pews are sagging a little bit more today than they were last Sunday, but that could just be a coincidence. But I've lost my place. In your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're growing, if we're increasing in these qualities, we'll never be found unfruitful. You've heard me say it a number of different times. Go through the Bible and look at all the passages that talk about fruit bearing and those that are not fruit bearing. Who are the ones that are going to be useful in God's kingdom? Who are going to be the ones that He's going to give His precious gifts to? That He's going to multiply their talents and give them a multitude of opportunities? And who is it that He's going to say, cut them down and cast them in the fire because they're of no use to me? Why am I even allowing them to use up my ground? We want to make sure that we are not useless or unfruitful as we work in God's kingdom. But then notice what the symptom of all this is in verse 9. If we're not growing, if we're not increasing in these qualities, if we're not adding to our faith, it says, "For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." When somebody has forgotten their purification from their former sins. What's happened there? At some point in their growing process, they stopped being thankful. At some point in their journey of faith, they stopped appreciating what had been done for them. And so they stopped growing. And they started focusing on other areas of life. And we see this a lot in Scripture. It's illustrated by story after story after story after story. Go read the book of Judges and then come back to this passage and see if that book is not a perfect illustration of people who stopped being thankful. Who stopped being thankful and stopped appreciating the redemption that they had received from their enemies, the freedom that they had been given from their foes. And what happened? They stopped being thankful. They stopped worshiping God. God allowed them to be overtaken by another enemy. Finally, it got so bad that they all of a sudden remembered God. They cried out to Him. He redeemed them again. They were thankful for a moment. They didn't have a spirit of thanksgiving. And eventually they stopped being thankful. Remember when the people in the days of Haggai had been told that they could go back into the land and rebuild their temple? Ooh, they laid the foundation of the temple. There was weeping. There were people there that were celebrating. There was much cause for rejoicing when the foundation of that temple was laid. And then they just let it sit there. They just let it sit there for like a decade and a half. And finally Haggai had to come and say, "What are we doing? We stopped being thankful. We stopped being appreciative of the fact that God was allowing us to return to our land out of captivity, out of bondage, so that we could rebuild our civilization, we could rebuild our community." And so they just stopped. They stopped growing spiritually. How many times could we see this point illustrated in the story of Israel after they come out of the land of Egypt? Oh, they were thankful when they were singing that song of Moses, when Mary and the other ladies were playing the cymbals and dancing around. Oh, they were thankful. Right up until the point when they got thirsty. And then they stopped being thankful. And they started grumbling against God. Part of the faith that God wants us to have includes inherently this desire that God has for us to be thankful for what He's done. And not just thankful the moment we come up out of the water. Not just thankful the moment that we feel that release, when we get that sin off our chest that we've been holding on to, that we finally recognized and repented of. Not just in that moment. But to be thankful all the time. In everything, give thanks. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let the peace of Christ rule and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell. And sing with thankfulness. Whatever you do, whenever you speak, whenever you act, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. How are you doing in your spirit of thanksgiving today? How were you doing 2 weeks ago? How will you be in two more weeks? What God desires for us is to recognize exactly what's been done, to remember it, and to return to Him with thanksgiving. If you're here this morning and you are not part of this family that Jesus came to lay down His life for, then you have an opportunity right now. Literally, the water is stirring behind me. I've heard it this entire sermon. I'm not sure what's going on back there. Literally sounds like ducks are playing in it. I don't know. But the water is ready for you to make the decision that you, like that one leper, is going to listen to the voice of the Master, to wash and be clean, understanding that the promise is there, that He and He alone has the power to cleanse and to heal and to make well. And through faith today, through faith, you too can be made well, just like He was, by listening to His voice, heeding what He tells you to do, and returning to Him to give thanks and glory and praise for what He accomplishes in you. If you're ready to make that commitment to the Lord this morning, then we're ready to rejoice with you as we stand and sing this song to encourage you.